From sunny Minnesota, it's the Ride Ready Podcast, brought to you by the Polaris Help Center. I'm Joe Ziemer, and I am not an expert. But I am joined in studio today by an expert. He's a technical trainer who has worked at Polaris for 4 years, and prior to that, he spent 3 years at a dealership. He's also the star of many of the how-to videos you can find in the Polaris Help Center and on our YouTube channels. Please welcome to the pod, Mr. Tony Verhoeven. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Well, what we're going to talk about today are some things that anyone, regardless if you can turn a wrench or not, can do to make your off-road vehicle a better performing vehicle. And that's basic cleaning and daily upkeep of your ORV. Tony, let's start with kind of a broad overview. We're going to drill down into some of these topics in more detail as we go. But just to start with, why is washing and cleaning your vehicle about more than just cosmetic appearance?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that not only do you want your vehicle to look good, but you want it to perform well, right? And when you're washing your vehicle, paying close attention to things like, bearings and drive shafts and, the overall cleanliness of not just the exterior and the plastic on the vehicle, but driveline components and things that are, vital to the machine's operation are really important and oftentimes overlooked by customers. It's important to look after that stuff because buildup of dirt and debris and twigs and sticks and hay and straw for our listeners that are in farm country, that kind of stuff can cause big problems and lead to costly repairs at the dealership that can be avoided by just taking some quick and easy steps to wash your machine.
So before we get too far into dirt, debris, or components or any of that, let's just start with the basics. How often should we be washing our ORVs, and what should we be washing it with?
Well, I guess I'll address the first part. How often, right? It's wildly variant on where you're riding. The customer that rides in the mud and clay, maybe got some Georgia clay down south riding. That customer is going to have to wash his vehicle more often than a customer that, say, uses his Ranger or Razor to just, hop around the yard, stays in well-manicured grass or things like that. Depending on your riding condition. Here in Minnesota, a lot of the riding we do, we'll get into some mud, some rocks, a lot of sand. So we like to wash our rigs every time we go riding. It's just a good practice. Washing not only cleans everything out, but it also provides a good opportunity for you to kind of take a look over your machine, put your hands on all the different components and check everything out. As far as what you should use to wash your machine, Polaris does make a large line of cleaning and protecting products. We use them here at the shop on the vehicles that we ride. It's a good product. There's a full line from machine wash all the way to polish, detailer, all that good stuff. We really like the line that Polaris has, and we use it quite a bit. If you don't have access to that, or if you'd prefer to use a off the shelf or a home remedy, we'll call it, just some mild detergent. So whether that's a soft degreaser or some kind of soap, car wash soap will work well. Anything to kind of cut through that dirt and debris, get rid of some of that grime. You'll find that the cheaper products, you're just kind of off the shelf soaps, like if you're to use like a Dawn dish soap, you tend to get a lot of like water spotting and a lot of residual residue left over when you're done cleaning. So something that's designed for power sports or to take care of that mud and sand is really a better option. But it's whatever you have access to, whatever you're comfortable with using. Another thing to keep in mind too is you got to watch out for products with your ATVs, your side by sides. There's a lot of plastic components, right? So you got to be careful with your products that might soften that plastic or cause damage to that stuff. I would always recommend whatever you're going to use, try washing maybe underneath a fender or somewhere that's not visible before you go soaking the machine down and potentially damage some of that plastic.
So if you read your owner's manual, and I think Tony would agree that you should definitely read your owner's manual, you'll find warnings in there a lot about pressure washers and why you should not use a pressure washer. Tony, let's put this in the words now. Why should we not use a pressure washer on our ORV?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we caution in the owner's manual. I think the wording offhand says something to the effect of, if you're going to use a pressure washer, and then in brackets behind it, it's like not recommended, right? So it's more about being careful with a pressure washer if you are going to use it. We understand that a lot of our customers are going to pull out the pressure washer. It's their go-to washing. It's what they use to wash their other vehicles, whether it be, you know, a tractor on the farm or your car at your house. But it's really important, with any of your vehicles to, if you're going to use a pressure washer, which again, we don't recommend doing, stay away from things like, bearings and bushings, you know, prop shafts, CV boots, things like that. From a mechanical standpoint, you know, you don't want to be putting pressurized water into places it shouldn't be, right? And there's lots of delicate seals and things like that that water can work its way in, and really just wreak havoc on all of those things. From a cosmetic standpoint, you also have to look at, you know, most of our vehicles have decals and stickers and warning labels and things like that, and it's incredibly easy, if you're not paying attention, to kind of blast those off or peel them off the surface. And then on top of that, the plastic components on these vehicles, if you're not paying attention when you're pressure washing, you can actually like gouge those components and make a mess out of what were nice, shiny, smooth plastics. So we tell you not to use a pressure washer, and if you're going to avoid our advice or not take our advice, my biggest recommendation would be use the broadest spray or the lowest pressure that your pressure washer has, and be incredibly careful when you're working through with that pressure washer and cleaning things up. Stay a good distance away and pay attention to where you're spraying water. You look at things like frog skins on some of the Razor products for your PVT intakes and your engine intake into the air filter box. It's very easy to throw a pressure washer up on there and feel like you're doing a good job of cleaning the frog skin off, and in reality, you're actually blowing water through that frog skin. They're designed to handle and not allow water intrusion. But it's a different story when you put that water at 2000 PSI or 2500 PSI or whatever you may be using for your pressure washer. So just, you know, pay attention. I guess key takeaways is pay attention to what you're doing, and be very careful. The method I use here at the shop when we're done riding vehicles or testing or whatever we're doing, I'll just use a garden hose with your, just run of the mill, sprayer attachment. Same thing you would, you know, find at any big box store or whatever, your local hardware store, just a little spray gun on the end of it. And then I'll oftentimes use the XP wash, they call it, which is a Polaris product. And the hose actually screws onto the bottle on that one. And it comes with like a spray wand or a spray feature on it. You open it up, you can either run water through it or you can flip it full forward and it'll pull soap in kind of at the same time. Same process as what you'd find in the soap dispenser and your pressure washer. You're just doing it at a much lower pressure to avoid the risk of causing any damage.
So let's say you do incorrectly wash your vehicle. What are like kind of the day-to-day implications? How is that going to show up on my next ride? Where am I going to notice functionality-wise how that's damaged my vehicle?
Well, it'll definitely depend on what vehicle you're riding, for sure. So, you know, we'll just use a Razor as an example, right? Let's say you go out, you get it really muddy, and you do a good thorough pressure washing, and you're not paying attention. First thing that you'll probably see if you get any water into the PVT areas, you're going to notice that your belt's going to start slipping. So it'll feel like the belt is slipping. You put it in gear, you're getting a whole lot of RPM and not a lot of drive out of the machine. As far as a corrective action, getting water into the PVT system, it is not detrimental if you catch it soon enough and you get the PVT system drained. So most, if not all, of our vehicles are going to have some sort of drain on the PVT cover. So you need to locate that drain, get it pulled out. In your owner's manual, there's actually a section in there that talks about what do I do if I get water into the PVT system. And that process consists of pulling the drain out, making sure that all the water that will drain out of there is out, And then running the machine to dry that PVT cover out and get all the moisture out of there. And like I said, it's not detrimental to get water in there if you get it cleaned out right away and you get everything dried up. The problem is most customers don't realize they've got water in it until after they've gone and ride and the belt's slipping and you're having issues. And at the point in time in which your belt is slipping, you've already done the damage, right? You've potentially messed up the face of the sheaves of the clutch, and you've potentially caused damage to the belt itself. So get that clutch drain out. If you think you've got some water in there, pull it out, check it out. And then, you know, always if you're questioning whether or not there's water in there and you're worried about wrecking something, either give your local dealer a call or swing the vehicle by there and have them take a peek at the PVT system and just ensure that there's nothing going on down there. Same thing if you're riding and you get water into the PVT system. Now, when you're riding, it's a little bit different because you're on the trail and likely you have to get back. So follow that procedure in the owner's manual. Get it dried out right away. Absolutely do not operate the vehicle with water in there. The longer you go with water in there, the more damage you're going to cause. So, you know, that's the effect on the belt. Not to mention the effect on things like bearings and bushings and, you know, all the other components that could potentially get rust on them if you don't get that PVT system dried out. So that's the risk from a clutching standpoint. From a engine intake standpoint, there's a lot of other stuff that you could do. If you do happen to get water in the intake system and it goes through the air filter and makes its way into the engine, if you got a lot of water in there, there's a potential for hydrolocking, which is a detrimental engine failure. There's also the potential to have components start rusting in the engine if you don't get that water out of there. So really, it's just be careful. And if you think you got water into a location that there shouldn't be water, make sure you get the machine taken apart. Like, let's say that's the intake. You want to make sure that you take your air box apart, take a peek, take the air filter out. One indication that you've got water into the air filter is the pleats on the filter will actually get a little bit of a wave to them. They look like they've absorbed water. So you can take a peek at that and see if you see any signs of water in there. And then, you know, make sure you get it dried out and cleaned up before you operate the vehicle.
Is there anything else that you would recommend checking after you wash, any kind of post-wash inspection?
Yeah, I guess more than a post-wash inspection, it's something where you want to, while you're washing, is what I encourage. Washing your vehicle is a fantastic time to take some time and go through, put your hands on components that typically you wouldn't look at, and just kind of give your vehicle a once-over. I find that 90% of the time, your basic maintenance stuff or little small items, you know, a bearing or a bushing or something like that, you can actually spot those before it becomes a problem on the trail or when you're out riding. If you're washing your vehicle frequently and kind of checking that stuff out, it's a great time to grab the tire, take a peek at the wheel bearings, give the wheel a shake, make sure you don't have any tie rods or anything loose like that. And it's also a great time to just you know, take a peek at all of the things when you're riding that could potentially go wrong, right? Take a look at the tires and just see, you know, is there any punctures? Do you have any sidewall damage? How's the tread looking? Great time to take a peek at the brakes and look, do I have pads left? Is everything good there? So, you know, it's more of a during the wash inspection that I would recommend. But just take some time, get familiar with the components, look at everything and take a look. Another thing that's important is just, you know, once the vehicle, you're done washing the vehicle, you're going to want to make sure you get that vehicle dry. So, you know, just like when you wash your car at home, inside and outside, you want to make sure you dry everything off, you know, get the water out from underneath the seats. If there's water puddling anywhere, get that cleaned up. It'll definitely help the looks of your vehicle if you're worried about that, to get it dried off before everything water spots up. Little shameless plug for the Polaris products here. We do make a shine product that you can spray on and wipe off. It's an instant shine and detailer. Makes the plastics look really nice. There's also a product out there that we make. It's a mud guard. So if you're like me and you like getting into the mud holes and the trails around your parts are muddy, the mud shield or mud guard is a fantastic product. You spray it on, let it sit for just a little bit, and then kind of wipe up the excess from the surface. And it makes a really, really slick surface that kind of repels water, similar to like what a Rain-X product would do on your windshield. But it's for the plastics on your vehicle. So that's pretty cool. But keeping the machine dry, getting everything out of it. You wouldn't wash your car at home and then throw wet floor mats back in it, right? So make sure you pull out the seat belts, and if the pull the seat belt all the way out, and make sure that if you did get the seat belt saturated with water, it's not all wound up in the retractor sitting there, sopping wet. So oftentimes what I'll do is kind of pull the seat belt out for the driver's side and hook it over the steering wheel so it can kind of sit out and retracted till it's dry, and then put it back in. And then for the passenger side, you can use the passenger handhold on like a razor and hook it on that to leave the seat belt out till it's all dried up, and then let it go back in. Also a great time, components you don't usually check or inspect, once those seat belts are dried, take a peek at that seat belt when you're putting it back in, make sure it's working properly. There's a big list of checks for the seat belt in the owner's manual you can do. So it provides a great time to just check everything out as long as you're there and your hands and eyes are on it.
Tony, let's go back to something you mentioned right off the top, and that was straw, debris, mud, sticks, what have you. It's not just soap and water when we're talking about cleaning and maintenance. Let's talk about those sort of things that can get caught in your vehicle and cause problems. Some of this is going to vary based on what sort of terrain you're riding in, but what are these sort of things that can cause problems, and where in the vehicle should you be checking, whether that's when you get done with the ride or before you're about to ride again?
Yeah, so I think, again, goes back to what I talked about, inspecting while you're washing. A couple of places to check is, number one, going to be your skid plate area. So the skid plate is fantastic. It provides protection against, rocks and debris and all that stuff from kind of accumulating in the lower frame. But it's not perfect, right? Like anything, you'll get some rocks in there. You'll get some, for our farmers, some hay, some straw, some alfalfa, whatever you may be working on. Gets caught up in there, and things like sticks, vines, hay, straw, all that good stuff can absolutely wreak havoc on not only bearings but CV drive boots and driveline components. So while you're washing, make sure you take a peek at that skid plate, look under the vehicle, make sure everything is free and clear and you don't have anything wound up. A four-corner check, I would call it. So starting with the left front wheel, inspect the wheel, the inside of the rim. That's a place where a lot of people forget to look and to wash. Inside the rim there, you got a brake caliper and a brake rotor and a lot of stuff that's moving. There's a lot of componentry in there. So pay attention to those areas. Make sure you don't have anything wound up. A lot of times when you're riding through grassy fields and the grass is really tall, the grass tends to, kind of get wound around some of those components. So make sure that's all free and clear, and do that on all four corners. Do your four corner check, and then a full inspection, underneath the vehicle. When you get into things like Razors and Rangers, where you have longer prop shafts spanning from the front to the back of the machine, and, transmission and gear case and four wheel drive and all that stuff, you really have to pay attention to those areas because you have a lot of moving components underneath that vehicle.
Now, let's talk about something other than washing your vehicle. Keeping the area in which you store your vehicle clean, why is that so important?
Yeah, so a couple of reasons why, you say storage, and it's a pretty broad word, right? Does that mean storage for overnight or storage for, the next month? But I think regardless, in these parts in Minnesota, we have a lot of just like your everyday field mice running around, right? So you live on a farm, you throw your Ranger, in the back of a dirty barn with a bunch of, hay stacked on it, and there's critters and animals and stuff running around all over the place. It only takes one night for a mouse to set up shop in an air box or start chewing on some wire harness components. So, obviously not all of us have a beautifully manicured garage to put your stuff in. But try to avoid long-term storage in those areas where you're potentially you have the potential for rodent damage, things like that. Just keeping a clean environment is important when you're storing your vehicle, because the next time you go ride, let's say you have an oil leak. If that thing's parked in a dirty, dingy shed out back, on a dirt floor, you're not going to notice an oil leak or a little bit of grease from a CV boot or something like that. Whereas if you're storing in a good, clean environment, you're at least, you know, you can, you're more likely to pick up on something like that before it's detrimental to a ride. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are just like me, and they're passionate power sports people. And anytime we're down off the trail and making repairs or not riding our machines and not getting that thrill of riding, that's a huge disappointment. So if I can catch it before I load up my truck and trailer and take my Razor, you know, 2 hours north to go ride, it's just a great opportunity to do that if you're stored in a clean environment. Now, again, not everybody's got that luxury. So if you don't, just make sure you're doing a really good pre-ride inspection. Not that storing it in a clean area should be an excuse to not do a pre-ride inspection. But it just makes it a little bit easier to see that stuff and reduces the risk for rodent intrusion. My previous job with Polaris was working for the warranty team, and you see a lot of damage come from rodents and things like that. A lot of information coming through where wire harnesses are chewed up, or, you know, a rat or a mouse made a nest in the airbox and the customer didn't do a pre-ride inspection, and all that debris ends up getting inside the engine and causing issues. So, you know, the cleaner the better, but, you know, I fully understand that not everybody has that luxury. So if you don't, just pay attention to that kind of stuff and check for it.
We should probably point out here, too, that mouse damage, not covered under that warranty, right?
Absolutely not. No. So the rodent damage thing is usually it's a big disappointment, right? Because you can have a little mouse cause a lot of damage, and, you know, that type of thing is not a warrantable failure.
Because the mouse is not factory installed?
Yeah, unless it's a Polaris mouse, which, you know, it's pretty tough to find those Polaris mice running around. We don't employ a lot of them anymore, so.
Well, there you have it. Thanks to Tony for the expertise, and thanks to all you for listening. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends. Please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, this is the Ride Ready Podcast.
The Ride Ready Podcast is brought to you by the Polaris Help Center, your first stop for vehicle information, maintenance tips, and how-to videos. Look for the Help button in the upper right-hand corner of any Polaris brand website.